Let's look in the book of Mark, chapter number 11, if you would. Mark 11 and verse number 12. We're going to start right here. Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. And think on the subject of the power of prayer. Amen. Did you ever think sometimes that your prayer doesn't mean very much? Do you ever think that? Sometimes people say that. Sometimes people have the idea that, well, I've done all I can do, so now it's time to pray. Listen, that's wrong. You need to pray before you try to do anything. You need to pray first. That's number one. Pray first. And then God might change your mind about what you need to do. So just remember that. But prayer is often seen as a very humbling exercise. Because, after all, we can handle it, right? We can handle it. I get any amens there. I'm glad I didn't. Because we can't handle it. We can't handle it. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to touch us. Let's read this passage. And on the morrow, when they were come up from Bethany, he was hungry. That's talking about Christ. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They didn't say anything, but they heard it. Sometimes, to ask God to do something that's impossible. It was not yet time to have figs. But sometimes to ask God for things that are impossible, you would say, well, that's just ridiculous. But Christ said to this fig tree, and this is a remarkable thing, that Christ talked to a tree. All right. He said unto it. That's what the Bible said in verse 14. He talked to the tree. And he said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. You reckon his disciples were figuring, I think he's lost his mind. You reckon they thought that? I don't know what they thought. But all I know is that they heard it. They said nothing at all about it at all. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we begin. As we're speaking about this subject, the power of prayer, don't ever think that your prayer is not heard, because God hears your prayer and God will answer your prayer and God will supply for you everything you need. But you need to ask Him for what you need. You have a need? Ask the Lord. All right. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that You do hear our prayers. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You watch over us every day. Lord, I thank You that You supply for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, today that our message will be one that will be a blessing and honor to You, that You might help me, Lord, to say what I need to say, that these people might really understand, Lord, the power of prayer and how that prayer can actually change our lives, that we're not up on this earth to do nothing, but Lord, we're here to do Your job, to do Your bidding. And Lord, I pray that You might help us to understand, Lord, that You're able to do everything for us. I ask You, Lord, just to keep us from harm. Help us today to be faithful to You. And bless, Lord, in this message, help me to preach it Your way. For Lord, I don't have the strength, but Lord, I know that You do. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. What did anybody expect when Jesus prayed? What did they expect? I think that I don't think they knew what to expect. I don't think they really understood what to expect. But notice that Jesus Christ does hear prayers. God hears prayers. God answers prayers. This tree actually died the next day. Look in verse 20. The Bible said in this place, "And in the morning, as they passed by," so in the morning, "they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now, I don't know how they knew that, because all I can see from a tree is that from the roots up. That's all I can see. But I know that the writer here said that the tree was dried up from the roots, so I believe it just like that. But they saw this fig tree dried up from the roots. And notice that Jesus Christ didn't call anything to their attention about it at all. Not one word did he say to them. It was Peter that spoke up. It was not Christ that said, "Look, listen, pay attention. See this fig tree? Remember that car yesterday?" He didn't say that. Rather, it was Peter that brought this to remembrance. The Bible said, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And notice what Jesus Christ said next. And this tells us that there's a purpose and a reason for everything. Whatever happens, Jesus Christ has a reason for it to happen. Things don't happen by accident, but they happen on purpose. Amen. We are the ones that need to learn something from whatever happens. The Bible said the answer is this. In verse 22, Jesus answered them and said this. He said, here's what I want you to learn. Have faith in God. That's the whole lesson that Jesus Christ wants them to understand. It is their place now to have faith in God. When they saw the fig tree was withered away, he wants them to learn this very practical lesson. It is a lesson that they ought to see, ought to understand. It's something that comes to them, and it's something that comes to us as well. There are things in our life that we need to pay attention to, because God has a reason for those things that are happening to us. Nothing happens by accident. I know we say there's accidents, but nothing really happens by accident. Everything happens on purpose of God. Amen. Understand that that's so. Amen. Understand that. These are things that God wants us to learn. These are things that happen to us in our lives that God wants us to learn. God wants us to find out why this is happening and why this other thing did not happen. God wants us to look at all of that. Nothing happens by accident. If we can get that settled in our hearts and our minds, that God is in charge of us and God is working and moving in us, if we can get that fixed in our heads, that God has a reason for everything that he's doing. Amen. Some things take time. Some things take much time. Some things, it seems like, never get done. But they do. It all happens in time. It all happens that way. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's fast. Have you ever prayed to God and said to God, "Lord, I need help right now"? Have you ever done that? Has God ever answered your prayer? He has mine. Amen. There's other times that I pray to God. I said, "Lord, I need help right now." And God didn't answer that prayer. But I've learned this. that God has a reason for not answering. Amen. Has a reason for answering. God has a purpose in our lives. I don't know what it all is, but I know this. But God wants us to listen to Him. We want our children to listen to us, right? Every parent knows this is so. Every parent. Well, maybe not all of them. But you want your children to listen to you, right? You want your children to pay attention to what you are saying. Have you ever got your child down? When they've done something and you have told them, look at me. And they didn't look at you. And you said, hey, I'm talking to you. You listen to me. You ever done that? Does God ever do that to you?
Right.
Yeah. He does that sometimes to us. He wants to get our attention.
Amen.
And sometimes we're playing off somewhere else. And he says, wait a minute. And sometimes things happen that gets our attention, that focuses us on listening to what he's got to say to us. He's got a way about things. I mean, oh, does he ever? Does he ever?
Amen.
You mean that you have been taken out behind the woodshed? Has Christ ever chastened you? Has he ever got your attention that way?
Amen.
You are saved, aren't you? Yeah. If you're saved, he has chastened you. I mean, that's a given. That's a given. So he gets our attention in whatever kind of way he needs to get that attention. Sometimes, with our children, we give them lessons. Just like Christ gave his disciples lessons. When he said to them, when he said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. But in verse 21, it was Peter that called to remembrance what Christ said. And the first thing that Jesus Christ said was, have faith in God. Listen, we're not to have faith in ourselves.
Amen.
I know what the philosophy of the world is. I live in this world. The philosophy of this world is that I am my own best friend. That's what they teach. But that's not so.
Right. Amen.
My best friend is Christ.
Amen.
Now, I love my wife. I wish she was here. I tell you what, it would have been a thrill for her to have been here this week and to see these blessings. It would have been a thrill for her. But she's home. She is with her mother. Her mother is bad. She's got Parkinson's. She's got Alzheimer's. She is ill. She's in the last stages. So my wife could not come. But I love my wife. I love Jesus Christ even more because he died for me. And she lives for me. All right. She cooks for me. She does all that stuff for me. I'm glad. But the Bible said here in verse 22, have faith in God. Jesus declares that we can really trust him. If we come to the place of really trusting in God, I'm talking to saved people, all right? But let me just give you this to think about. Was Judas Iscariot there? I think he was. Myself. I think Judas Iscariot, who was finally lost, was there. And Jesus Christ is saying to him, as well as to his saved followers, have faith in God. So it's a good lesson for us all to consider how faith in God. He says in verse number 23, Jesus Christ says this, for verily, this is what the verily means truly. He says, for truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, wait a minute. Let's get this thing all together here now. Do you really think that the mountain that's standing in my way, is it a literal mountain? No. Listen, there's things that happen in our life. There's things that are events in our life that are impossible situations. That's what he's talking about. It's things that you don't believe could ever come to pass. It's very great things. Do you believe that God is able to bless you in spite of what is in front of you? Do you think that you could ever overcome? Probably. There's nobody here that is addicted to drugs. I'm talking about illegal drugs. Probably nobody. I don't guess. Maybe there's somebody. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that smokes a little marijuana every now and then. I don't know. I pray that that's not the case. But have you ever tried to overcome something that's in front of you? That is a great big mountain and you can't? You ever tried that? Have you ever had an addiction of any kind? I have. I was a smoker. I puffed on cigarettes. I learned it in college because everybody else was, and they gave them away. They didn't cost me nothing to get them. There's four in a pack. I got up one morning, got ready for go to class, and I saw a little old pack, something laying under the door of my dorm. I said, well, that's a pack of cigarettes. Winston cigarettes. What they were. What's those doing there? So I set them on the side. They're not mine. I wasn't supposed to bother them, right? The next morning, there was another pack there. That happened to me when I was in college. I had a pretty good stack of those things. What am I going to do with them? I don't want them. But I tell you what I did. I tried one. And after coughing and hacking around, directly outside, I tried another one. I got dizzy. Oh. Yeah. After a while, I learned how to smoke. I learned how to smoke. I learned how to take that tobacco in my lungs. I did. I learned how to do that. I tell you what, it was a lot easier to learn how than it was to quit.
Amen.
It was a ton easier to start than it was to stop. That's just like any sin. It's a lot easier to start than it is to stop. That's what I'm saying about drugs. If there's anybody here that's been involved in any of that, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a lot easier to start than it is to stop. I could tell you, but I won't, about a young man that's in prison right now. And part of it is, part of the reason he's in prison right now is because of drugs. I could tell you that, but I won't tell you that story. But God wants us to understand this, that there's impossible things that we all face. There's things ahead of us that are, it's a great big mountain. And Jesus Christ said, you can get rid of that. But not by your power.
Amen.
It won't be by your power. But you can get rid of it, but you have to get rid of it by the power of God. That's what he's saying. God has the power to do it. Remember the text in Mark 11, verse 12 and verse 14, where Jesus Christ simply cursed the fig tree. What God wants his children to do is to trust him, not them. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to trust him, not us.
Amen.
Okay? Christ can do things for us that we never even believed. That was the wrong way to say that. But Christ can do things for us that's impossible for us to even do at all. Christ can do it. And this conversation that you have with the Lord is private. Oftentimes it's private. The things that bother you about sin, most of those times we pray about those things and they're in private. It's just me and God talking. Okay, nobody else. I heard a story one time, and it's a real story. It's about a man that was returning thanks for his food. And there was several people around his table that day. And he always prayed before he ate. And so he bowed his head and he prayed. And he got all done. And as they were passing the food around, somebody said to him, I didn't hear what you said when you was praying. And the man said, I wasn't talking to you. Good answer. Sometimes it's good for us to pray to God individually, quietly. It's not all the time. Prayer is not supposed to be something for everybody to hear. But sometimes our prayers in those things are just between us and God. All right. So be sure that we pray to the Lord. Jesus Christ said in verse 24. He said, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. The question is this, did Christ lie or did he tell the truth?
Amen.
Christ told the truth. He did. Whenever we pray to God and we're talking to God about whatever troubles us, we need to know that God will freely give us those things. God will remove that great big mountain that's in front of you. God will remove that great big circumstance. God will answer your prayers. God will bless. God will do the impossible thing for you.
Amen.
When I was a boy, I was probably, I was probably 16. I was a late bloomer, you might say. Because at the age of about 16, I'd never dated a girl. I'd never gone with a girl. I didn't even care about girls. All right? But one day, I saw Billy Snow walking with a little girl. Wow, I thought. Boy, I like that. I like that. I think I need one of those. That'd be so nice. So, I asked the Lord for one. Is it wrong to ask God for a girl?
No.
I don't think so. Is it wrong to ask God for a wife? No, I've got a wife. I don't want to ask again. I got one. That's plenty. So, I asked the Lord if He would send me this girl that could cook, that could sew, that was pretty, that was well-dressed, that was well-mannered, that knew everything. Guess who I got? I got nothing. I didn't get anybody. Was I thought, I don't think God will answer that prayer. I got nothing. But I kept seeing Billy Snow walk with that girl. And I thought, boy, there I am. After a while, I changed the way I prayed. I said, Lord, here's what I'm going to pray for. I've got a mountain in front of me. Lord, I want, you know what I want. But Lord, I will take whatever you give me. It don't make a difference. If she weighs 300 pounds, if she can't cook, if she can't sew, if she can't clean the house, if she won't clean the house, if she comes from you, I'll take it. I'll take it. Did God answer my prayer? Well, I got myself in a mess now, hadn't I? But you know what God did? God got me out of the mess because He gave me then what I asked for the first time. That's exactly right. That's been 55 years ago. We were married 55 years ago. We dated for 3 years before we ever married. But God did that. Can God do that? Can God do that for you? Listen. And who am I? Who am I? I'm a backwoods nobody. But God has done that for me. And God can do great things for you.
Amen.
There's no... That mountain that's in front of you, listen, that mountain is there for a reason. That's there for a reason. That's there so you will know that God can answer your prayer. That's what it's there for.
Amen.
And no, when He says in verse number 24, wherefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. Know that that's so. So, whatever it is that you really want, ask God.
Amen.
Ask God. And God can supply for you. All right? Let me read verse 25 and 26 and just to notice that Christ said this in this context. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. And we ought to forgive.
Amen.
We should never have animosity in our heart toward anybody.
Amen.
Nobody. It doesn't make any difference what they've done to us or what they want to do to us. We should never have any animosity toward them at all.
Amen.
All right? You forgive. You forgive them even if they don't ask.
Amen.
All right? Even if somebody don't ask you to forgive them, you forgive them anyway.
Right.
You need to be an example, a good person. The Bible said, if ye have aught against any. Now, in verse number 25, he's saying, if when you stand, pray, forgive. If you have aught against any, so sometimes that animosity that we can have in our heart toward them, We should get rid of that. We should forgive them. That your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So who here does not have any kind of trespasses?
That's right.
Anybody want to raise your hand? I don't see any hands. No. Because we all have problems of our own. The Bible said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Know that that's so. God wants people to willingly and ably forgive, regardless. I'm thinking of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus Christ. Can you tell me the names of the two disciples that Mary went and got whenever she went to the tomb after Christ was risen from the dead? Can you tell me the names of the two people, the two that she went and got and said, they've taken him away? What was their names? There's two of those guys. One was Peter and one was John. All right, you got it. Notice this. Peter had just denied Jesus Christ not once, not twice, but three times 3 days ago. All right? But where did Mary go to get him? She went to his home. That's what the Bible says. So know this, that whenever there's great times of trouble, even though you mess up greatly, there's other people that see you and other people that need you. Judas Iscariot, he didn't ask forgiveness at all. But I just got a notion that Peter did.
Amen.
That's just my thoughts. I think that Peter, when he was with John, I think that him and John got all together. That's my opinion. So I'm sticking to it. Okay? So Peter, I think, asked forgiveness, but Judas Iscariot didn't. Let me read you one other place. In the book of 1 Samuel about prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is about prayer and about how important that it is to pray when you face a great big mountain. And all of us face big mountains. All of us do. There's insurmountable things that we all face. And they're put there by God so He can help us to overcome those things. But He wants us to pray about those things. Not pray publicly, but pray privately to Him. Earnestly pour out our hearts to God, and God will supply for us. I told you about praying for a wife, and I did. I prayed very privately for a wife. I prayed, and God heard my prayer. My son, Paul, when he was lost, prayed for a lawnmower. Well, that's a stupid prayer. He wanted to know if God was going to hear him or not. And you know what happened? In the church that I was pastoring, there was a man that had a riding lawnmower, and he gave it to Paul. He gave it to the church for Paul to use. He said, that's Paul's. That told Paul. Well, isn't that something? Does God hear your prayers? Listen, He does. Just understand that He does. And here, this woman has a real problem. I mean, she's got an insurmountable mountain ahead of her. An insurmountable mountain in 1 Samuel chapter 1. In verse number 2. And he had two wives. That's a big problem. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And Hannah was very much grieved because she could not have any children. She wanted children. And to make matters worse, every year when they went up to worship God and to sacrifice the Lord God in Shiloh, she went up there with no child. But Peninnah had children. And Peninnah, in verse number 6, the Bible said here, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. There was no child. And she was very much grieved about it. And she couldn't do anything about it. She wanted more children, but could not have one. But the Bible said in verse number 9, when they got to Shiloh, 1 Samuel 1, verse number 9, so Hannah arose after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the door of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Well, she was greatly troubled. I think right here that her husband really didn't understand what she was going through. That's my opinion. I don't think he really got it. She could not have any more children. And she wanted children. Couldn't have any at all. And verse number 11, the Bible, verse number 10, in the latter part of verse number 10, she prayed unto the Lord. This is a great big mountain in front of her. And she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, just remember me and all of my afflictions. Lord, I can't do anything about what's ahead of me. I can't do anything. Lord, I'm in trouble. And she said, forget not thine handmaid, but will give to thy handmaid a man child. She said, nothing against women here, but she said, I want a man child. Very clearly. She said, I want a man child. Will God hear your prayers? I want to tell you something. We have four children. Wife and I have four children. We have a boy, girl, boy, girl. All right? Did you know that's the result of prayer? When my wife became pregnant with our first child, I immediately began to pray, Lord, let it be a man child. Is that wrong? I don't think so. I think the Lord answered that prayer. The Lord has a hand on everything. The Lord can do all kinds of impossible things. Things that we can't do. But God can do those things. Why? For His glory. For His honor. My oldest son, that's what I'm talking about. His wife died when she was 38, I think. What's going to happen then? I prayed for my son. Even then, I prayed for my son. Amen. And he prayed. They had two children. And after a while, He began to pray. Lord, I need a wife. I need a wife. And you men know exactly what I'm talking about. Your wives are very dear to you. They ought to be very precious to you. And you ought to pray for a wife. And he prayed for a wife. It wasn't long until the Lord gave him a wife. A woman that had never been married before. She was about 40. Can the Lord do that? It's no problem with God. God can do the impossible things. God can touch you in your life. He knows exactly what you need. But in verse number 11, I stopped reading here. And will give to thy handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, when I pray the Lord for my children, I wanted the Lord to take those children and use them. I didn't say the boys not cut their hair. I didn't say that. The Bible said in verse 12, it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, and Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. It wasn't a vocal prayer, but it was a silent prayer. Only her lips moved. She spoke in her heart. Therefore, Eli thought that she was drunk. And Eli said to her, and he should have. He should have. How long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. And here's what happened here. In verse 18. So the woman went her way. Hannah went her way. And did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. Isn't that amazing? Why? Why was her countenance not sad anymore? Because she believed God. And you know what God did? God gave her Samuel. God gave us Samuel. And she took care of Samuel. The Lord not only blessed with Samuel, but look in chapter 2 and verse 21. God blessed her with other ways too. For these children, Hannah did not ask, that I can find recorded. But I find that God answered anyway. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Can God take care of the mountains in front of you? Amen. Amen. What mountain is it? Have you got a lost child? I have a lost daughter. That's 50 years old, that comes to church, that I still pray for. Amen. Can God save her?
Amen.
Yeah, you can. I may be dead, but I don't care because I have eternal life. If the Lord saves her, that's what it's all about. Ain't it right? The power of prayer. Don't ever diminish it. Don't ever think that just because there's not a lot of fanfare about real prayer that God doesn't hear it. Because God does. God knows the secrets. God can can supply for you. Those things that you really need. When that mountain is before you, and know that the mountain is oftentimes there. Know that God can hear your prayer, and God will surely answer it. All right? If you're lost, should you pray for the Lord to save you?
Amen.
Amen. You ought to pray. I think it's a good thing to do. If you're saved, should you pray that God help you to know how to pray? I think so. I think so. Well, I'm all done. But I want to thank the church very, very much for the blessings you've been to me. You don't know. You just don't know what a blessing you've been to me. You don't know. I thank you very much for allowing me to come. I wish my wife was here. But I'll see her later today, I guess. But you pray that Lord would help. If you're lost, do what God wants you to do. Trust Him. Recognize your sinfulness. Ask God to forgive you. He will. He's the only one that can. He died on the cross of Calvary for you. As His brother just preached, He not only died, but He raised again. He has new life. And He's there to help. Okay? Okay.